Early on in my spiritual life, I had the incredible grace of meeting Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich through her writings. She had the incredible gift of seeing and having faith in saints' relics. She taught me this and she passed this into my heart, so much so that one time I happened to be on retreat and I was at this Jesuit retreat center where they had this beautiful chapel of Saint Alphonsus Rodriguez, a saint that I knew nothing about. I went to that chapel and would pray the rosary. And as I held his relic and would pray the rosary, I would recognize that it was the most intense rosary I had ever prayed in my life up until that point. Later on, I looked him up, and there's actually a story about him in The Secret of the Rosary. Well, on one of the last days of the retreat, I was holding his relic, and I prayed deeply from my heart for God to give me a relic as well. At that time, I had no idea how you got those. Well, a few weeks later, a friend of mine sent me a letter, and lo and behold, they sent me my first relic, Saint Gabriel of the Sorrowful Passion. Ever since then, I have known the power of saints' relics and how they influence you in your life. So some weeks ago, I was praying likewise, just asking God in passing, Lord, send me saints' relics, send me help. And not only did he send me help, but he sent me two saints' relics, and not just any saints' relics, but saints that are supremely devoted to the souls in purgatory, one of which whom I want to share with you in today's video. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. If you would like to join my nightly rosary, we pray every night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you can join through YouTube. Her name is Blessed Eugenie Smet. She was born 5 years before the apparition of the Miraculous Medal in 1825. The Miraculous Medal apparition was in 1830. She was born in Northwest France in Lille. And at that time in France was a time of revolution, was a time of great distress and great poverty, where the Catholic Church's influence was very much on the decline. So as a young child, because of this poverty, she loved serving the poor, especially in the village where she lived. She would go to her father's orchard and give them of their fruit. She loved serving the poor in any way possible. Also, when she was very young, God's grace somehow touched her heart and implanted into her heart an incredible love for the souls in purgatory, so much so that she would speak to her friends about these souls in a prison of fire and how we must pray for them, and that no one prays for them, and that's all we need to do to release them, but no one does. And they would look at her like she was crazy because these little children would not understand. Well, this devotion to the souls in purgatory would grow and would develop, and then she became a young woman. She met a priest in Paris who also had a love for the souls in purgatory and had organized a prayer group for them. Around that time, she was already beginning to think of establishing a religious community for the souls in purgatory. She asked this priest about this, and he, being very practical, suggested to her that she needed to start a religious community that focused on starting a school. She didn't like this answer and sought advice elsewhere. She then went to seek out none other than Saint John Vianney, who upon praying told her, Eugenie, this is an inspiration from God. This is the will of God. In fact, this is something coming from the very Sacred Heart of Jesus himself. She was very much encouraged and decided to go forward with this idea. So one day, just to make sure, she wanted to ask the Lord for a sign. And she prayed, Lord, please send me one other person who also has this great devotion, someone that wants to work with me so that I know that this is coming not just from me, but from you. She prayed that prayer that day, and no one came to her, and the day was almost at a close. And then before she was about to lose hope, one of her closest friends came to her and said, Eugenie, I love the souls in purgatory. Isn't there something that we could do for them? As soon as she heard these words, she was uplifted and she knew this was the sign that she was seeking. Then on December 27th, 1856, she took the name Mother Mary of Providence, and along with five other sisters, they took their first vows, and there was born the first religious community in the history of the Catholic Church dedicated to the souls in purgatory, the Helpers of the Holy Souls. She had a tremendous love for the souls in purgatory, so much so that she would say that with one hand she wanted to empty purgatory, and with another, she wanted to save souls throwing themselves into hell. Now listen to her wisdom in her own words. Let us put on Jesus Christ, and thus clothed, descend continually into purgatory, to give him to those poor souls by our deeds, our suffering, and our prayers. The souls in purgatory suffer without a moment's interruption. Their helpers must never cease a moment to assist them. The souls are in prison, a fire, but the good God asks us only for a prayer to let them out, and we don't say it. Day and night, I am pursued by the same thought. One does not pray enough for the dead. Hundreds of thousands of people die every day. Where is there a community devoted exclusively to the relief and deliverance of these dear souls? Holy suffering souls, who can obtain so many graces for us, remember us in the midst of your sufferings. I will work unceasingly to obtain for you the joys of heaven, and I know you will plead for me. Blessed Mary of Providence, pray for us.